Bring me on, Andrew.
Good on you, Matt. Matt Benson. Just a quickie with Nevesh Ramdani. We've seen a bit of light misty rain pass through Sydney this morning. How are you, Nevesh?
Yeah, good morning to you, Andrew. Yes, we've had some of that light rain. We've had 1 mil since this morning. It's still overcast. The odd sort of light sprinkle, every now and again, but they are forecasting it to improve in the afternoon. But thus far, it's still pretty overcast since this morning, and we haven't seen any signs of improvement.
Okay, so at the moment, you're happy leaving it a 5?
Yes, we walked it this morning, did a penetrometer, happy to leave it a soft 5. We'll see what happens during the course of today. They're forecasting a better day tomorrow, 50% chance of any showers and less than 1 mil. And then a good day again, Saturday, 26, they're forecasting. Yep. So we've just got to get through today, and hopefully this heavy clouds over us lifts pretty soon.
Yeah, let's hope so. All right, soft 5 it is. We'll chat tomorrow. Thanks a lot, Nevesh.
Thanks, Andrew. All the best.
Nevesh Ramdani. There's two earlies for Randwick on Saturday. Race 3, number 6, Rong Dor Reggie. Race 3, number 6. And Perignon, who, of course, is running in the all-age, come out as an emergency race 4, number 16. So we'll monitor that. Let's hope the weather forecast is right, that this weather is going to be picking up. Brett Prebble had a night of it last night at Happy Valley. He rode a treble there. Brett Prebble got fined for excessive use of the whip, though. So it's hanging around the industry for sure. But Brett Prebble riding a treble. Just on Randwick 2... it was unfair to put it on Nevesh, given that he didn't know what I was going to be asking, but the information is very much out there now. There's a lot of consultation work going on between the Australian Turf Club and the Australian Trainers Association. My information is they're going to be meeting with a lot of trainers this week and next week about the prospect of upgrading the course proper. I don't think they'll be able to do it for some time, given that their one aim at this stage is to get the Kensington track redevelopment underway there, and hopefully that will get the tick over the next few weeks. But at this stage, a lot of consultation work going on between the ATC and the Australian Trainers Association. That's it for Racing HQ. Tab Talk's coming up with Gerard Middleton and Sean Cosgrove. At 10:30, Sean will be chatting with Chinwag with leading and popular owner Frank Cook. So that comes up at 10:30. And coming up on Tab Talk, Michael Hawks talks about the relative of Chautauqua, who debuts at Hawkesbury, and also trainer Gary Moore.
Sky Sports Radio's Saturday expert Ron Duffacy proved a true champion for punters on day two of the championships at Randwick. From early morning, the Duff was all over one horse.
My like Lucia Valentina here, I reckon this sets up perfectly for her.
Here comes Lucia Valentina, like a shot out of a gun, the mare races to the lead.
This Saturday morning, Ron Duffacy and Mike Fraser are back from 7, previewing all-age stakes race day, right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
At Bingley, purchase a selected Paloma gas heater and get up to a $150 Bingley card on the spot to spend store-wide. Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for full details. Offer ends April 30.
You've been known to start out of the gate slowly. How do you feel?
Yeah, pretty good. Told my mate to be ready 15 minutes earlier, so pretty confident.
Think you'll be held back in the pack?
Nah, mate. We'll begin fast and be in the box position throughout.
Head to the gate confident with TAB Rewards. On Saturday the 16th of April, you'll get free entry to Randwick Schweppes All-Age Stakes Day at Royal Randwick when you show your TAB Rewards card. It's another great benefit of joining TAB Rewards. Check out tabrewards.com.au to see the offers available on the day. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly.
Paletti Sangiovese, the Italian wine that is delightful, easy drinking, zesty, juicy, and medium bodied in style. Paletti Sangiovese, available now at Dan Murphy's and General Liquor Stores.
There are gates open, they're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
It's the first time he's finished above a GP of Philip Island. Mark Marquez, nothing in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning, everyone. Sean Cosgrove at tab.com.au. We have Gerard Middleton. How are you, Gerard?
Sean Cosgrove, it's been a while. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Mate, terrific. We've got a big day coming up. We're going to talk to Sean Maloney in a moment about the rugby. We've got Ben Dorries. We're going to be having a chat about footy and racing. Also, Michael Hawks will join us to talk about Rad Radra. which is a half to Chautauqua having its first start today. And it's had two trials and won them both.
Yeah, it's in race four today at Hawkesbury. That market will be open shortly. And I think I've watched the Chautauqua replay about conservatively 25 times.
That
breathtaking, wasn't it?
Yeah, and we'll talk to Gary Moore as well. Gary's got a few runners today at Hawkesbury too, so we'll have a chat with him. But Sean Maloney joins us now too. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Sean Cosgrove. Good morning, Jerry Middleton. How are you, man?
Very well, Sean. Now, you were just in Hong Kong last week for the Sevens. Loved your calling too, by the way. Now, what was the craziest thing you saw there in Hong Kong?
It was probably... Well, I mean, there was a couple of things, boys, I had to try and decide with on that front. Probably David Hasselhoff singing to the South Stand whilst being cheered on by a Pamela Anderson lookalike... bloke, who probably weighed a buck 30, and a little person, I think is a politically correct term, like a small person, sitting in watchtowers.
What do you think they would have paid him?
I don't know. There was
a slab?
Yeah, it was worth every cent.
Oh, it must have been.
And that was, I mean, that was crazy. But then there was a lovely moment I saw in the crowd late on day one where a businessman, was like a normal dude, was walking behind me, and then a guy dressed as Hulk Hogan bumped into him, knocked the beer all over the businessman, and he then turned around and threw the whole beer, his beer, in the face of Hulk Hogan. And rather than a fight ensuing, they just hugged it out like you do in Hong Kong.
Oh.
It was just magic.
Are you sure you're at the footy, you weren't at a party somewhere or a nightclub?
Mate, that's what it's like. It is honestly the loosest thing you could ever imagine. It is the best.
Yeah, I'm sure. And the Aussies did pretty well, got bundled out there in the semi-finals, Sean, against Fiji. How are they tracking that men's side heading towards, of course, the Rio Olympics, where we see sevens rugby in the program?
Look, they're going really well. They are. They probably just haven't had a chance across the last few tournaments. I mean, this is what should give Aussie fans hope that the guys can medal in Rio, is that they haven't had their number one side on the park across the last four tournaments, but they've still managed to make the Cup semi-finals before being either touched out or going on to make the Cup finals. So they're going really well. Also, our women's side are killing it at the moment. Winners again over in Atlanta last weekend. They're favourites. I don't know if you guys or will have markets open on the Olympics, but I think the women's side will come up as probably about even money favourites to win gold in Rio. That's how good they are.
Yeah, just looking there, I guess, because we've got a host of Olympics markets open here at tab.com.au. The women's rugby, though, the sevens, is not up yet. I'll have to ask the boys today what's going on there, but there's a stack of markets open for golf men's and women's, the cycling, basketball, athletics, the tennis, soccer also, the medal tally too, as far as the various countries are concerned. So for Australia, over under 10.5 gold medals, the overs $1.60, the unders $2.35, and we're looking at a gold medal potentially for that women's side. So good luck to the girls heading towards Rio. Now, Sean, the big game this weekend as far as Super Rugby is concerned, no doubt, is the Waratahs and the Brumbies Saturday night at Allianz Stadium. The Waratahs $2.10 outsiders here, the Brumbies $1.75. This is a yardstick game. The Waratahs, is it those words, must win?
I think we're getting to that point. I mean, I know we're only seven rounds in, but I think it is most definitely is a must-win for the Tars middleman, because they've found themselves now in a precarious type of position, and they're going to be playing against the Brumbies team, who'll be riding high out of a lot of emotion after their rampaging bulleting number 8. Peter Vail was forced to retire earlier this week. What a story he was to come back from, essentially lucky to be able to be alive, but then be able to come back and play after having stints put in his heart, some really bad heart issues. They've got the better of him, unfortunately, and his side, you've seen this week, he's been an outpouring from his side who just gutted losing him. So I suspect they might be up for this one, the Brumbies, and looking to do it for Big Utah.
Now, I saw a report that Sonny Bill Williams gave a trophy, his Hong Kong Sevens runner-up trophy, to a little kid.
And I think he tossed his runners away as well, Sean Cosgrove. That's the beauty of Sonny Bill Williams. He doesn't really Doesn't really care too much, it would seem, for material possessions, and away it went. He's a remarkable kind of a guy.
The kid would have thought he'd won Tats Glider getting hold of that, wouldn't he?
That's a big weekend. That's a good result in Honkers.
Well, he did. He gave his World Cup winner's medal away too, from memory, I'm pretty sure, didn't he?
He did. He did. Yeah. Remember there was that the kid who jumped on the field and thought he was a pitch invader. He got cleaned up, so Sonny said, "Hey, bro, take this."
It's like, choice, bro.
His medal.
Now, what do you think about the Rebels, Sean? They're sitting pretty second in that, well, what are we calling the conference now? The Australian Conference, still the Australian Conference.
Yeah,
they're 4-2 on the season, as are the Brumbies. So they're challenging the Brumbies there for top spot. They're $2.45, the Rebels, at home against the Hurricanes, who are flying high. Well, they're 4-2 as well, but that New Zealand Conference is very strong, and the Hurricanes are $1.55 there.
No, I'd be all over the Rebels in this one. They've got a fairly good record against New Zealand teams down in Melbourne. They got clipped by the Highlanders earlier this year, but I'd be lapping up that price about the Rebs against the Canes. The Canes, they're just scratchy. I'm not there with the Canes at all at the moment.
Okay, and also, well, the Reds were the story of last weekend, just a sensational win against the Highlanders, the defending champions at home. Now they have to, well, they're on the high veld against the Bulls, who are $1.35 at home, and the Reds $3.20 outsiders. I mean, a big ask, isn't it, that travel and going to Pretoria against the Bulls?
Yeah, in a word, no. I can't see the Reds getting close there. We saw what happened to the Rebels. They were travelling okay earlier this year before going over there and getting pants. It's just a brutal place for sides to come away from with the cash. And I just think I think the Bulls will be waiting, licking their lips, and they'll give it to the boys from QLD.
So what is it? So obviously you like the Bulls there against the Reds. You like the Rebels against the Hurricanes. What is your tip in that Waratahs Brumbies blockbuster, Sean?
Got a good question, that Jared. I will take the Brumbies, but in a very, very narrow one.
Right, there you go. $1.75 at tab.com.au there, the Brumbies. Skinny line, 1.5. And, of course, I just can't wait, Sean, until June, till England come out and the Six Nations champions under Eddie Jones up against Michael Checker's Wallabies. I know we've still got, what, basically 2 months to go, but how do you see the national side shaping up, heading towards what should be one of the more anticipated mid-year test series we've seen?
Yeah, it's been ages, hasn't it, Middleman? I think 2010 was the last time the English came through, and that was a good series. And then we saw the colour and excitement that a number of the English brought with the Lions as part of the Lions squad in 2013. I'll do the same again this time around. You'll have workmates you can poke fun at when the Aussies clean them up. I reckon a sweep. If the weather is good, I just think the pace of rugby in the Southern Hemisphere is that far beyond that of the North. I mean, you only had to watch Six Nations, and in patches, it was almost unbearable to watch. The game down here is that much quicker, and I expect if the conditions are good that it'll be 3-0 to the Aussies. But I can't wait, mate. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, no, especially that Sydney game, 3 o'clock kickoff Saturday afternoon. I think it's June 25. It'll be a full house. Let's hope we get a great day and a great occasion. Sean, great to talk to you on Tab Talk this morning after what was probably a very busy weekend in Hong Kong last week, to say the least.
Can I tell you my crowning achievement, boys?
Oh, no.
Was doing my first ever upside down jelly shot. There's a place called Al's Diner in a suburb called Lang Kwai Fong, and I got my buck 25 kilo frame up there, hooked them over the ceiling, and hung back and got loose on some jelly shots. It was a lot of fun.
I'm tipping there's not a lot of room left in your bucket list at the moment.
I'm in Singapore this weekend for the Singapore Sevens, so yeah, you're probably right.
And the bloke and the Hulk outfit, was he just an immediate family member or close friend of yours?
A dear friend.
How's your wife at the moment, Sean? Is she happy with you?
She's in the Hulk outfit,
yeah,
I think.
She's thrilled. She really is. I, 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 I love going home and reintroducing myself to my five-year-old daughter as well. Hello, little girl. I'm the daddy.
You're a bad man. Oh. Good to catch up with you, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
I'll see you, boys.
See you, mate. Sean Malundi there, live, or we think he is, from Singapore. That Hong Kong must have been just absolutely incredible.
Well, Sean, it is one of the great bucket list items for people going to the Hong Kong Sevens. And some people go to Happy Valley on the Thursday night and then do the 3 days at the Sevens and get on the red eye on the Sunday night back to Sydney for work on the Monday morning. I've heard of people doing that. And, well, I remember asking a friend when he first went back in about 2004, I think it was. I was like, how was it? And the first thing he said to me was, it's impossible to get arrested in Hong Kong. We ended the conversation there.
I think he's probably barrier trolled.
They have a good time, to say the least.
We've got the first at Winger 2 about to get underway. Now, this is over 1,600. Got a full field of six. Favourite the four, Lurkin Aura at $2 and $1.30. Now, they've all loaded up here.
Six to start the day. Gates open, they're off and racing. All standing there and missing it by about three lengths. Early was Brass Springer. First away was Bridget Town. Dillinger up onto the speed nicely. Two lengths away, third early, Lockenora. Then followed out a bit wider on the track then by Vanep Serjak Remington at Stablemate. One and a half away then to Goldleaf. And three lengths last is Brass Spring. On to the course proper they move, 1,200 metres out from home in the first, and it is Dillinger and Bridget Town just fighting over the lead on the top end. Dillinger now comes out a length in advance of Bridget Town. Bot seeding third is Lockenora, a length away fourth Serjak Remington outside of Goldleaf, and two lengths last is Brass Spring. The field of six in the Wingatui Function Centre, they head over towards the 800 metres mark and about six lengths from first to last. And the leader remains Dillinger. Three parts of a length in advance of Bridget Town, the outside, and Lockenora in the trail. A length away, fourth, then is Serjak Remington. No change in the order. Van Epster's Goldleaf and still a half away to the last Brass Spring as they come up towards the home turn and Piers. The leader on the inside is Dillinger. Bridget Town has given it no peace on the outside. Awaiting the cutaway run now is Lockenora from Serjak Remington. Brass Spring trying to take closer order. And back to its inside then is the hurdler Goldleaf as they come to the turn. 350 metres to go. Lining them up now is Dillinger from Bridget Town. Now Lockenora takes the cutaway run up the rail. Wider out is Serjak Remington and Brass Spring down the very outside, closer in Goldleaf. In front now Lockenora over Bridget Town and Dillinger battling away, but Lockenora is in front though, close to home. It's going to be three straight for Lockenora. Lockenora beats out Dillinger and Bridget Town. They were 1-2-3 throughout. Fourth over Brass Spring, who in the context ran on pretty well. A breakaway Serjak Remington and Goldleaf will be the last one home.
4-2-5, race one, Winger 2, number 4, Lockenora, 180-140, 2, Dillinger, 370, and no third for 5, Bridget Town. 4-2-5, they're the first at Winger 2 today. Now it is 18 past 10 at Sky Sports Radio. We've got a big day of racing today at Hawkesbury as well, too, Gerard. And it's one very interesting runner there. I'm hoping to have a chat with Michael Hawks in a moment. Rad Radra is a half-brother, three-year-old, to Chautauqua.
Yeah, it's exciting to say the least after what we saw in the TJ Smith and the Lightning earlier in the carnival, of course, Sean. So, market will be going up shortly, those markets at Hawkesbury. Just opening as we speak, the quaddy race is just opening there. So the boys will have those open very shortly for Hawkesbury today at tab.com.au.
Now, Michael Hawks joins us now. Morning, Michael.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Good. Rad Radra, two trials, two wins. Have they been nice, soft trials? Tell us about the horse.
Yeah, he's a lovely horse, Sean. He's a big boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a good 17 hands high, and
Jeez. He's
done everything right. He certainly doesn't look like his brother anyway. He's a bay, and his brother's a grey, so he's a lovely horse going forward.
How does he, Chautauqua, we saw that unbelievable win the other day, coming from Stone Motherless, and I've got to say, did you have your heart in your mouth at one point in that race or not, Michael?
To be fair, I was actually watching our other horse, our boy Malachi, and yeah. I knew where he was, but then it was sort of probably a little bit of disbelief that he actually was able to win from so far back, and, you know, it's always, you're trying to watch all horses, but you got engaged in that race, but it probably didn't take anything away from the win, but it was probably a bit of heart and mouth stuff. But, you know, you knew he could do it. He's out the back, but I wasn't really worried, but it was kind of more, wow, did that just really happen?
Yeah. And Michael, I know you've had some thrills in racing, and I don't want to compare horses because I know it's particularly your dad doesn't like doing that, but comparing moments and how that moment felt as opposed to, say, I mean, my personal favourite is Lonro's Australian Cup in 2004 and other victories that the family has had over the period. where did that rate as far as how it felt?
Oh, look, Gerald, it's up there with him. You know, it's something that you'll never forget. And, you know, I thought his win the TJ Smith the previous year was probably outstanding. He was in a position where he probably couldn't have won the way the race played out and the way the track was on that day as well. But, you know, 12 months on, you go and emulate the same sort of race, and it's just it's kind of crazy, really, to think that he is that good. And that's what he is, because, you know, he's a backmarker. Mm. You know, backmarkers lose more times than they win, and front runners win more times than they lose. So, you know, he has a lot against him. He's, you know, you can't compare, but then you think of, you know, Lonrose, like that Australian Cup, or even Octagonal, you know, sort of used to get a long way of his ground and only just win. And, you know, this day and age, it's so competitive. But, yeah, look, it's definitely up there with my personal wins as far as anything I've had to do with the stable and horses going forward since I was a young kid. But, yeah, it's quite phenomenal, really, what he can really do.
With Red Radra today, what can we expect? Is he the sort of horse that will settle out the back, or would he race on pace? What do you think?
No, look, Sean, he'll jump. He'll put himself wherever he has to be. Yeah. I know it's only 1,100 metres, but, look, he's a big horse, and he'll probably get a little bit further as he gets on. But, you know, he's kind of the same sort of horse. He winds up, and he'll keep hitting the line strong. But, look, it wouldn't surprise me if he jumped and went forward. You know, there'll be no instructions today with Dwayne. He'll just jump, and how he jumps is how he rides him. And the only thing I will say is just keep him balanced and just hope to let him hit the line strong and solid. And, you know, it's a good starting point. That's, you know, first and foremost. And then look where he ends up from here, who knows. But he can't do much more than he's really done. He's had the two trials, and we've just taken long, nice and quiet. And, look, he's a gelding. You know, we gelded him early days because we said to Adriana Throsby, the owner, look, he's not going to make into a stallion, and you need to do the right thing and have a racehorse. And she said, I'm here for the fun. So when people see him, you'll understand how big he really is.
Now, today, 1,100, what do you expect distance-wise with this bloke? What do you think will be his perfect distance?
Look, he'll probably get over ground. You know, look, Chautauqua, we've always kept him to a sprint and thought he'd get a good mile. You know, he's won over 1,400. This bloke is much the same, being by street sense. You know, I think a good 12 to 14, even probably a mile, maybe further. But, you know, it's a starting point. They've got to start somewhere. And obviously, you know, going forward, you know, hopefully he will get over a bit further ground. But it's a big track. It's a roomy track. He's got plenty of space. And I know it's only a small field, but, you know, there's a few unknowns in the race. But, you know, he's certainly well. And, look, everything going well, he should be winning today.
Now, you head off, I think, Monday night with Chautauqua?
Yeah, Monday night the horse leaves. And all things are in place and everything's sorted. So starting to get a little bit goosebumpy, I suppose, is probably the right word. You know, you try and keep a lid on these sort of things for as long as you can, but it's sort of getting to that time now where it's kind of getting exciting. And, you know, like I said, the way he won the TJ, if he put a performance in like that, I think anywhere on the day, no horse would have beaten him. No. So we only have to emulate that bit of a performance, and hopefully we're doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's great stuff. You'll be flying the flag for Australia, Michael. Good luck with Chautauqua. Now, just the Divine Profit, I think, is a great each-way chance at $11 with tab.com.au for the champagne on Saturday at Randwick. Had a win at Kembla there last start. Had a trial last week, which trialled pretty well there too.
Yeah, he did. We just wanted to give him another trial over 1,000 metres at Randwick, and we took him there just to have a look. And look, it's a big thing. He's still a baby. He's still learning. He is going from 12 to a mile. His win at Kembla that day, which was a city meeting, was a very good effort because he was wide. I know he had cover, but he really hit the line, but he didn't really know what he's doing yet. And I think that's the best part about this horse. He's still raw. And obviously Yankee Rose is the hot pot favourite, and deservedly so. But if there's a horse in the race that I think can beat the horse, it's definitely our bloke. And going forward, he's going to be better next time through. But in saying that, he's definitely improved off that trial. He's actually a little bit sharper, and I don't think the ground will worry him that much. Obviously, being a full brother to Placia, and his half brother Prone won on Gosford on Tuesday, so over the mile. But look, it's a family that'll get a bit of ground, and he certainly won't be affected by that mile at all.
Now, Michael, you mentioned the prospect of going over with Chautauqua. You're getting a few butterflies. Which jockey's getting a few butterflies at the moment?
That hasn't been decided on. We've left that call to Dad. He can have that decision. Wayne and I have just taken a step back. But, you know, look, it'll be Dwayne or Tommy, one of the two. And, you know, they both do a lot of riding for us. But, the decision it comes down to is the right one for the horse on the day, but that doesn't detract from either jockey because they're both good jockeys in their own right. So whatever the choice Dad decides to make, it'll be the right one going forward.
Right, and, terrific.
And Messine has been racing really well, Michael. $4.80 chance with tab.com.au. 360 Havana Cooler for the eighth there at Randwick on Saturday. It's just, it just hasn't won for a while, I suppose, but it's been close.
Look, honestly, I think he's picked up over $500,000 in his last, you know, dozen or half a dozen starts that he's had. Obviously ran second in Ascot, you know, going back last Christmas. And honestly, he came back and had that first run from Melbourne and was outstanding. He really went good. And obviously Sir John Harcourt won that day and just had a bit better turn of foot. And he really improved off that run. And I really thought he could win his next start. And obviously it took one of Godolphin's to beat us because we did turn the tables on Sir John Harcourt. And look, end of the day, the horse is flying. He's going super. You know, we just need a bit of a decent track, whether we get that or not on Saturday. But he'll probably end up in the Hollandale Cup, you know, going up towards the Gold Coast, up towards Brisbane. And look, he's in fine form. He loves Sydney. He thrives here. I don't know what it is. It's just, you know, horses for courses, but he just loves it down here.
Well, Michael, good luck today with Radradra. Let's hope all goes well there, and with Chautauqua as well.
Thanks, guys.
Good stuff, Michael.
Good to catch up with you. Michael Hawkes joining us there, 25 past 10, Sky Sports Radio. Gary Moore joins us now. Jared, morning, Gary.
Morning, gentlemen.
Winning supreme today. He's by a horse called Alfred Noble and an Irish horse. Does that horse stand in Western Australia?
He does. He was purchased by the owners out of Western Australia. He started his career off in the country. Yeah. And then he's been with me for about 3 months.
What can you tell us about him, Gary?
He's worked very well going into today's race. I was very pleased with the way he ran at Newcastle of recent, and I think he'll be very hard to beat.
All right, well, that's a nice confidence boost for us. We go to race five. Hostwin Legend here. It ran a nice fifth, and not beaten far in the kindergarten.
No, he impressed me greatly in the kindergarten because I think that the two horses that Dead Heated are exceptional young horses. And I think he's very well placed today. He's got race fitness on his side, and I think he should be very close to the money.
And he raised handier in the kindergarten there, Gary. Is that the plan again?
Definitely. I mean, we were unlucky at Warwick Farm where I thought he'd win. He just stepped back as they released the gate, and he's missed it. But he did run on well in the straight and did show greenness, but he looks really well, in very, very good shape.
You got a $5 chance there in the eighth. Another one of the host wins, number 10, Hostwin Galaxy. Had the one start for the win at Doom, and that was back in January, trial behind Chandana just a couple of weeks back. You must be feeling bullish about this gelding.
Definitely. I mean, he looks in peak shape. He trialled very, very well. Tim Clark was very pleased with his effort, and I think he's in there with a very big shot today.
The other good thing with him, Gary, yeah, when he did win at Doomben, it was a heavy eight, which is nice to know you got a wet track as well, and he led that day.
Definitely. I think he's probably... well, he has shown that he goes on the ground when he won at Doomben, as you pointed out, and he's also trialled well on it. But he's a very versatile animal, and he's by a great sire, and he's ready to go today.
Now, which would be the pick of your three today?
I think if we can beat Gay in race five, I think we'll win.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's Irish seems like she's very talented. I think my best is Hostwin Galaxy in the last.
In the last. Days. Now, have you picked up many yearlings through the sales?
We've had a great year up to now. We've probably got 12 yearlings at Muskoka Farm being broken in at the present moment. So the sales have been very kind to the stable.
Any particular size that you're excited about? Any first season ones?
Well, Gerald Ryan's the king of the schnitzels. I think I'm going to be the king of the stratum soon. I bought it with Takedown going so well, and I bought a stratum colt out of Easter for $600,000, and I think he's a real nice colt.
Gee, Takedown ran well too, didn't it, in the Arrow field there behind Japanisma and Counterattack in a very hot race. What next going forward for Takedown? Are we heading to Brisbane?
We are. I mean, if you go back to the Roman Consul race... I think Japanese May finished third, I finished fourth. I mean, it was a great race. We're going to go to the Gold Coast for the Guineas, 1,200 metres. It's a set weight race. He comes in very well, and I think around the Gold Coast, he's going to be very, very hard to beat. And then he'll go on to the Fred Best, 1,350. Hopefully that he can win that, and that'll make us exempt from the Stradbroke draw ballot.
Gary, just thinking, you mustn't have too many older horses in your stable. Most of yours would be like probably 4 years or younger, wouldn't they?
They are. You know, it's taken me a year and a half to sort of prove that we are a serious operation here in Sydney, and so we've got a lot of nice two-year-olds coming along the line.
Well, we'll exceed the moon the other day. Gosford caught my eye, Gary, was 360 into 290 and saluted. It looks a promising type.
Definitely. It was a very very good win. I hadn't had him very long, only under 2 weeks, but he'd come on a lot since he moved stable. And I think he can go on with the effort and win again on the 25th of April at Gosford. He'll go back for the Class 1. And then there's a nice race for him over the Scone Cup meeting.
Well, we wish you luck today. Good luck. And good luck with the babies, too. It's always an exciting time, Gary.
Very grateful. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks, Gary. Gary Moore, good to catch up with him there. And hopefully he's going to have a fantastic day racing today. Jared, good to talk to you, mate.
Great to talk to you, Cozzy.
And we will catch up soon.
Sounds good, mate.
There we go. Jared Middleton, tab.com.au, right on 10:30 at Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio market movers are proving a bonanza for punters. Our presenters zero in on where the money is going.
Each weight basis in the last 26 into 12, a Poho.
A Poho flying home out wide, and it will be a Poho.
And our market mover from 26 into 1855, a Poho takes the victory.
Just one example of our tab market movers every day on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
You want Mazdas?
We've got Mazdas. Acres of them.
In fact, Penrith Mazda is the largest single-site Mazda dealer in New South Wales.
And we're the state's number one BT50 dealer.
Not only do we have more, but the BT50 range gives you more.
More grunt, more torque, more comfort. Across the 4x4 and 4x2 BT50 range, get more options, more technology and more safety.
From the team at Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Be part of Victoria's premier weanling and broodmare sale, the Inglis Great Southern Weanling and Bloodstock Sale, June 19 to 21 at Oaklands Junction, Melbourne. Entries close Friday,